The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Yes, it is time to think and discern. Hey, welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. The American science community is over the moon. Well, actually, they're over Mars. About 10 minutes ago now, the Mars rover Perseverance landed successfully and softly on the surface of Mars. And the first thing I want to say is congratulations. Technologically, this feat is absolutely mind-blowing. To be really honest, I can't even wrap my brain around the difficulty, technically, of this mission. You're going millions of miles away, travels 6 months, has to enter the atmosphere of Mars at an exact place, exact angle, exact speed, and then everything has to work perfectly. The heat shield had to work perfectly. The enormous parachute had to work perfectly. The cables that lowered the lander to the surface, or the rover to the surface, had to not just work good, it had to work perfectly, and it was all autonomous. The controllers here on Earth could do nothing, absolutely nothing. They couldn't look at the trajectory of the entrance into the atmosphere and say, oh, we got it. No, they couldn't do anything. So from a technical standpoint, unbelievable. And I congratulate all of the engineers, all of the scientists that were involved in this mission. Unbelievable. Just absolutely unbelievable. And let me say again, I find this fascinating. I've always found space travel fascinating, whether it's science fiction or whether it's reality. So I want to make that clear. I am not anti-science. And by the way, I'm glad they sent this rover to Mars, and I'm going to watch every opportunity I get when the pictures start coming back, when this thing starts sending back high-resolution pictures of the surface and it starts roving the surface. I'm going to follow it as much as I can. All right? I want to make that clear. However, we got to be honest here. We have spent billions and billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of man hours on this mission primarily to prove a fairy tale. What do I mean by that? Evolution. Now, there are going to be a lot of discoveries on this mission, and I hope a lot of things that will benefit humanity. The Mars missions, we had all kinds of developments that are in use today that we probably wouldn't have were it not for the moon missions. And I hope the same is true with this Mars mission. But make no mistake, the primary purpose is to prove we don't need God. That's the primary purpose. Can I read to you a little bit of a blurb from the New York Times from today? NASA's latest robotic explorer will reach Mars this afternoon. The third spacecraft to arrive on the planet this month after visitors from the United Arab Emirates and China. The Perseverance is headed to Jezero Crater, a place that planetary scientists think could be an ideal place. Now, this is not even through the first paragraph of a five-page article in the New York Times. Very first paragraph. Scientists think this could be an ideal place to find preserved signs of life from several billion years ago, if life ever did arise on Mars. And then the article goes into great deal. It was going to sit down at 355, which it did. It had to decelerate from 12,000 miles an hour. It entered the 7 minutes of terror, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. About 66 feet above the surface, the rover is lowered on cables and so on. But the ultimate purpose of this mission is try to prove that evolution is true. And if evolution is true, we don't need God. They're trying desperately, desperately to prove that life came out of nothing. Right atmosphere, right temperature, right chemicals, and life emerges. No God, no creation, no need for God, just the right circumstances. And they believe that Mars at one time had a climate much more similar to Earth than it is today, and it would have supported life. And if evolution is really true, if you have the right chemicals, the right atmosphere, I'm talking about oxygen and the different elements of the atmosphere, the right atmosphere, the right chemicals, the right temperature, given enough time, 1 million, 2 million, 500 million, given enough time, life will always generate. And that's what they're trying to prove. Well, that's a fairy tale. It is a fairy tale. Life does not pop up out of nothing. And it's interesting because the secular scientific community laughs at Christians who believe that God created out of nothing. They laugh at us. What do you mean God created out of nothing? Well, that's basically what evolution is about. Well, they say, well, it's not nothing. There's chemicals and temperature and amino acids and so forth. But it develops by itself with no divine creator, no divine engineer. It just happens. Life. My friend, this is my opinion. That's a fairy tale. There have been several books written with similar titles and similar subjects, which basically say, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Well, I find myself in that category. It would take a whole lot more faith to believe that life just spontaneously exists. Without a design, without a creator, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that than to believe that there is a God who creates. So, will they prove the fairy tale? No. No, they will not. But they're going to keep trying. Can you imagine how entertained God is by all of this?
talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
You know, I have said for years and years that if you follow biblical principles, you have clarity. You may not even like those biblical principles. You may not agree with them, but if you follow them, at least you know right from wrong, good from bad. Clarity. If you reject biblical principles, you find yourself in the midst of absolute chaos. You want to know why there is so much chaos in our world today? We have left behind biblical clarity. I have a startling illustration of that that I'll share with you after the bottom of the hour break. Don't have time to get into all of it now, but it is an absolutely amazing, shocking, and tragically sad story that illustrates when you reject biblical truth, you have chaos. So I'll share that with you in just a few moments. An update on Vadi Bakum, Southern Baptist preacher that I have asked you to pray about. He was ministering in Africa, in Zambia, when he began experiencing complete heart failure. And he has had a terrible time. Because of the weather here in the United States, because of COVID, he has had an absolutely terrible time getting from Zambia to the Mayo Clinic in Florida for the treatment that he desperately needs. And I've been trying to find an update today, and I've been unable to find it, but it looked like he was going to be able to leave Texas. He was able to make it to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but he needs to get to Florida, to Jacksonville. And flights were canceled, et cetera. And they were hopeful that he was going to be able to get on a flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Jacksonville late last evening, and I have not been able to substantiate that. And if I can find out, I will certainly let you know. But please continue to pray for pastor, preacher, evangelist Vadi Bakum. The Christian community needs his voice. One of the most balanced voices that I have heard on biblical issues and particularly on racial issues. And he is a voice, especially in the Southern Baptist Convention, that needs to be heard. Southern Baptist Convention right now is really struggling with this issue of race and how to deal with it. Critical race theory is ripping the convention apart. People are dividing. People are leaving the convention, not over theology, but over an ideology. That's the thing that bothers me most about this. CRT, critical race theory, is not theology. It is an ideology, by the way, rooted in Marxism. Anyway, I've talked about that quite a bit, so I won't go any further. But please pray for Vadi Bakum that he would experience a full recovery. Now, this story, I've debated all day long whether to even share it with you, but we've talked quite a bit over the last few days about accountability. The horrible disaster of Ravi Zacharias. After his death, we are now learning he was not the man that he pretended to be. That's exactly what he was doing. He was pretending to be someone that he was not. Tragic. Absolutely tragic. How did he get by with it for so long? A lack of accountability. Well, talk about an illustration of a lack of accountability. This is a church in New Jersey, and not a large church at all. A small church has now gone to the police reporting that their financial secretary has embezzled more than half $1 million from this little church over the last several years. Taisha Smith DeJoseph, 43 years old, has served as a volunteer at St. Paul Baptist Church in Florence, New Jersey. She has now been officially charged by federal authorities with 13 offenses, including theft by deception, for taking, you ready for this? $561,777 from the church. Over $500,000. Quote, investigators discovered that she was responsible for overseeing the church's finances. She opened electronic bank accounts in the congregation's name, but instead used the funds for herself over a five-year period ending last March, federal officials said. She issued payroll and supply reimbursement checks to herself from the church's bank accounts, fabricated monthly statements to conceal how she was crippling the church's finances, and this is the most amazing thing. The church's bank account, she's in charge of the finances of this church. She's a volunteer. The church's bank accounts were overdrawn on more than 500 occasions. How does that happen? How does a church bank account get overdrawn 500 times and nobody knows about it? She used the money to pay for her wedding at an exclusive wedding venue. When the federal government began looking into her finances, they found that she had not filed income tax returns for 2014, 15, 16, and 18. Oh, she did file a return in 2017. It was fraudulent. Now, the church's pastor, Fred Jackson, told ABC News of Philadelphia, you ready? We just trusted her. Trust, that's all I can say. Quote, we as Christians like to believe that we're trusting, and we put our trust in other people. Accountability? My goodness. Hey, listen. Most folks in the church are fine, upstanding people, but there has got to be accountability. $500,000 from a small church and nobody missed it. Hey, when we come back, an illustration. When you forsake God's principles, you have chaos. We'll be back.